From the KISS 92.5 studios in Toronto, Canada.
Are you ready?
Ladies and gentlemen.
This is Roz.
Yes.
And Mocha.
It's Roz and Mocha. What's going on?
Hey guys, this is Bruno Mars.
This is Selena Gomez.
The Chainsmokers.
Lady Gaga.
Calvin Harris.
Celestia Carr.
This is Ed Sheeran.
You're listening to my boys, Roz and Mocha.
Roz and Mocha.
My boys, Roz and Mocha.
The Roz and Mocha Show.
Between Roz and Mocha, who is your favorite?
Roz.
Mocha.
Roz.
You guys are so funny, man.
Congratulations, Lisa! Wow!
You just won $1,000.
That is amazing. Y'all just made my entire morning. Keep it up.
You guys are awesome, man.
This is the Roz and Mocha Show podcast. Roz and Mocha's Fix My Life.
What advice can you guys give me?
Okay, so my question is...
Got a problem you can't fix.
Roz and Mocha got you.
Lissa, got problems at home.
Oh,
What's up? Why are you here?
Roz, I need your lawn help.
Oh my God. It's that time of year. Lissa, you wrote it says, "Hey, Roz and Mocha, fix my life. My yard has been overtaken by clover. Last summer, my ADHD took over and I started picking it all. I got bored and quit, and then it all grew back. I've tried strong vinegars and fertilizers. To top it all off, my newly diabetic dog keeps peeing on real grass I have left and killing it. I hate clover."
Before you continue, Roz.
Yes.
Lissa, I'm going to tell you right now, I got clover in my backyard as well.
You do.
I also hate it. But the pattern that it makes, I have a feeling the previous owners purposely put down clover, mixed it in with the grass because it doesn't grow erratically and it hasn't really spread. It's almost like a swirly pattern.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of looks nice, but I also hate clover. Mm-hmm. Just so you know, you're not alone.
Clover's pretty invasive, and my DMs this time of year, especially this year, are crazy. It's all lawn stuff.
Because look at the winter we got, right? All that snow, that heavy snow that just sat on the lawn, destroyed everything.
Yeah. Why are you putting fertilizer on clover?
I read that nitrogen, clover can't grow in nitrogen-rich areas.
Wow.
So I was using a very heavily nitrogen fertilizer.
Yeah, I mean, sure, but you're going to have to use you're going to have to pile it on there, like in lumps in order to do that. Like, otherwise you're just feeding it.
I'm glad you're calling then, Rob. I'm struggling.
Yeah.
You're like, grow, clover, grow.
Yeah, you're like,
eat.
You're giving it everything it needs.
Damn.
It's been rainy. It's been sunny. You're fertilizing it.
Clover's like, yo, thanks.
So clover's one of these things that, like, there's no vinegar's not going to work. None of this stuff is gonna work.
Do you basically have to rip up all the grass?
No, not even that works.
You
got to nuke it. That's the only way to fully get rid of clover, right?
Yeah.
Like, but even if you rip up all the grass, the problem is this, like, when you start ripping stuff up, okay, what you're doing is, like, anything that has a seed or a seed head or anything that still has roots in the ground, like, you can till it all up, but it's going to grow back. Like, you're making it ugly on the surface, but you're not killing what's beneath, right?
For sure.
You can go and get a sod cutter and you can rip it all out of your backyard where you literally it's like a mandolin that you cut, you know, a tomato with, right? Where it takes off the whole top layer of your lawn. So you're just left with dirt. And then what you can do is you can either throw seed down or you can put turf down. But really for clover, and I know this is a terrible thing to say, but the only way to do it is chemicals. That's it. That's the only way to kill it.
And she got a dog at home.
Yeah.
Diabetic dog at home.
Yeah. But I mean, with chemicals, like the way that they work is that you put them down, they stick to the leaf and my God, like an hour later, you're fine. Right. Like you can water the lawn, you can go on the lawn, everything else. But the problem is that it's very difficult to get that stuff because the two things that are going to kill clover are dicamba and quinclorac. You can look those up. And then 2,4-D, which 2,4-D in this country was deemed like non-dangerous years ago, but you still can't buy it like east of Manitoba, right?
Yeah, you gotta have a license.
Yeah, you gotta have a license. So you can't use it for residentials. Meanwhile, if you have a farm or a golf course close to you, they load it up with that, right?
Like, I didn't know that.
So if you have a farm or a golf course, they can use all this stuff, right?
Huh.
But resident, but people like on residential lawns, you're not allowed. You can buy it online,
yeah,
right? But you gotta spray it, and you, like it's a lot of work. So your options are like literally removing everything in your backyard and starting over, or going a chemical route. But you're wasting your money if you're throwing vinegar down and trying to kill it with fertilizers and all this other stuff.
Okay, I appreciate that.
Does that help at all?
Well, yeah, my husband did say, he mentioned something called par three that golf courses use.
Yeah.
And I looked, like, how are you going to get that? You don't have a friggin' license.
Well, I mean, you could buy that stuff on Amazon, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you need a backpack sprayer, and you need all this other stuff, and all your PPE gear, and, you know, like, it's a whole thing. Like, it's just, like, how seriously, how much is the clover bothering you, I guess, is the question.
When I can't shovel up the dog's poop because the clover,
yeah,
it bothers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Looks like you're getting one of them hazmat suits then, girl.
Yeah. So you may have to nuke it.
Well, yeah, it's been an eye opener, but I needed that and I appreciate it. And I'm committed to getting rid of this clover.
Okay.
Thank you, Lissa. Have a wonderful day.
You too. Thanks. Bye.
Roz and Mocha's Fix My Life on KISS. And Mocha's Fix My Life.
What advice can you guys give me?
Okay, so my question is.
Got a problem you can't fix?
Roz and Mocha got you.
Riley, hello, it's Roz and Mocha.
Hi.
How you doing today?
I'm good.
So why are you on FML?
How do I tell my daughter he's not coming back without breaking her?
Oh, he's not coming back. You wrote this, Riley. Hey, Roz and Mocha, Fix My Life. Years ago, I left Toronto to raise my daughter alone. Her dad has never been in the picture. Over time, I struggled with alcohol, but I've been in recovery for 18 months, attending meetings twice a week. Through recovery, I built a strong circle of friends and started dating someone I met there. It was great until it ended. I respect his decision, but it's been hard since he's still my best friend and we talk often. I haven't told my daughter yet, and she keeps asking when she'll see him. We used to do all sorts of things together, and I'm worried how she'll take the news. Still, I know it's time to tell her, and we can begin moving forward. How old is your kid?
She'll be 8 in September.
Oh, 8.
And how long were you in the relationship for?
About 6 months, but okay. We were about past year and a half. I've been in meetings twice a week. So,
and is this the sort of only relationship that you've had that she knows?
Yeah.
So this is like the only kind of guy that's been around in the house and sort of even remotely acted like a dad would, right?
Yeah. Like she'd asked about, you know, do I have a dad? And I'm like, you do, but he's just mommy's partner at the time. So I made it very clear.
Okay. Right. So with this guy, though, your ex now, is he or was he around like almost daily for them to kind of build that bond?
We didn't live together, but like I said, we would often FaceTime, and she comes to meetings with me twice a week, and we always go bowling as a group. So there's a lot of events and stuff where he was there, and she was excited that that was someone that was, I guess, in her life, like a father figure per se. And now I just, like last night, we were all supposed to go for dinner, and she hasn't seen him yet, so I said I had to stay back and wait for childcare. I don't know how that interaction is going to go.
You know that hooking up in recovery is not the best idea, right?
Yeah, I waited till like 1 year.
Still, you know that.
Yes.
You said he broke it off with you. Why? What happened?
So basically, long story short, fear. He's afraid that he's going to hurt me and her and doesn't want to hurt me further. Mm-hmm.
So,
commitment, I guess, in a sense.
You become extremely codependent when you're with somebody in therapy. And you sometimes can be the reason you stay sober, and you sometimes can be the reason you fall off the wagon. But there's just a lot of talking about it, right? And it's never a good idea. But you know that already, so we're not going to go over all of that. But like, how do you tell your kid? I think that your kid is 8, and I think that you have to treat her like she's 8. Don't try and grow her up for this and give her some sort of life lesson. You know what I mean? Like, tell her in a way that an eight year old would understand. 8 year olds know boyfriend girlfriends, right?
Yep.
You know, they know that. And you can tell her we were boyfriend, girlfriend. Now we're not boyfriend, girlfriend, but we're still friends. And, you know, we're going to see him, you know, I'm going to see him a whole, you know, a whole lot less. And that's really all you can say. Like, there's no kind of way around it. Like,
you can't get into the details of stuff,
but you can't string her on, right? Like, you can't do, you can't say, but who knows?
Yeah. Maybe we'll see him.
But maybe we'll see him. Like, you can't do that because that's cruel. Right. And I know that that's the sort of easy way to do it. Right. But it's not the right way to do it.
Now, did you also say that you take her with you to your meetings?
Times, yes.
Yeah. See, that's tricky because if he's going to be there, I don't know if there are options for additional days or other days where, you know, he's not going to be there if you have to bring her, because that's where things get a little bit more dicey, because if she sees him, right, she may like run up to him and give him a hug or like want to talk to him or just say, hey, like, you know, come sit with us type of thing, right?
Yeah. Unfortunately, there isn't. Those are kind of the days. So, like, I try to get child care when I can.
Yeah.
But my options are limited. But I guess once I tell her and just make it clear that she still arrives, but as a friend.
Does he know about all this? Like, her feeling, your kid's feelings towards him?
He knows that, she cares about him very much. And, like, in his letter that he wrote, even though it was a very long text message, explaining like that he doesn't want to hurt me or her, and he doesn't feel he's the person.
When he says that, what does he mean by that? He doesn't want to hurt you. What does that mean?
From what I've been kind of gathered, this is like the first relationship he's been in since he's been sober, which was 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
And he's basing it off of his past relationships from when he was in active addiction. So he's basing it off of a fear from before, but he's not that person anymore.
Gotcha. Mm. Yeah. You just got to explain it to your 8-year-old in a way that she'll understand, and don't lie and don't lie and don't say that the window is still open and, you know, who knows, like, don't do any of that stuff. You got to you just got to be straight up with her, but be super, you know, gentle and talk to her like she's 8. Don't use this as a moment where she's going to grow and learn some sort of life lesson too early in life.
Mm-hmm. No.
Does that help, Riley?
It does. Okay, and I appreciate
all right, girl.
You guys taking the time.
You keep killing it out there, okay?
Thank you.
Roz and Mocha's Fix My Life.
What advice can you guys give me?
Okay, so my question is...
Got a problem you can't fix.
Roz and Mocha got you.
Talia is on Roz and Mocha's Fix My Life. Why?
Number one question, how do I get my family off of their screens?
Oof. You wrote it says, hey, Roz and Mocha, Fix My Life. My kids and husband have become addicted to their electronic devices. How do we regain some sense of normalcy in our home?
How old are your kids and how many do you have?
I've got 3. My oldest is 9. Mm-hmm. Second is 6, and then 2.5.
Okay, so wait a second. The 9-year-old and the 6-year-old are constantly on screens?
Absolutely. More so the 9-year-old. Okay,
That's all you.
How did you and your husband let that happen?
I think it's more of a general... I'm going to take responsibility. It's more of a generational thing for sure. It just has gotten completely out of hand. I would say some people in the family use it as leverage. Like, if you don't behave, I'm going to take time off of your electronics or things like that.
But you shouldn't be.
That's a wrong way to go.
You shouldn't be having this conversation with a 6-year-old.
That's very true. I don't deny that.
Like, you're talking about how do we regain some sense of normalcy in the home, but you're the one that created the environment.
Absolutely, no question. I take full responsibility, but it's gotten completely out of hand where, like, even if there was like a fire in the house, I'm sure they would not even notice.
I know, but you've allowed it to get to that point. And I understand when the kids are really, really young and the parents got stuff to do, a million things on your mind, and you need to keep the kid distracted or kids distracted. Mm-hmm. You put them in front of the phone, you put them in front of the TV, you put them in front of the iPad, right?
What's the 9-year-old doing on the iPad?
Mostly watching videos or TV shows and then also on some sort of Nintendo device.
So what does your husband say about all this?
Well, my husband's also on his devices all the time, so it's kind of a situation.
So what's his response when you bring the subject up with him?
He agrees, but I think he's also just obsessed with his phone and social media, just like everybody else in his generation. So it's hard to kind of differentiate between
how things should run in a household.
There is a little bit of lead by example. There is. But there's also there's also the reality of your parents and their kids. And you don't have to all play by the same rules.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like your husband has to give up his thing. You guys just need to, you didn't establish any rules with this stuff. You know, and as Mocha was saying, like every parent gets it, you know, sometimes you just need to throw the DVD player or the iPad at the kid because you need a minute. And like, nobody's saying don't do that. Mm-hmm. Right. But what you've allowed in your house is for the screen to become the norm as opposed to the exception.
Right.
So the default is sit down and grab the iPad, right? That's the norm. When they have a minute to themselves, they're spending that minute being like, oh, where's my thing? Right.
Exactly.
And that's where the problem is. You can still have screen time. First of all, the 6-year-old, you should not be having these conversations with a 6-year-old.
It's more so the 9-year-old.
You should not be having these conversations with a 9-year-old. Mm-hmm. You should not be losing this argument with a 9-year-old. I tell this story all the time. When Rox was about 6 or 7, I guess it was, we had an iPad and we turned the Wi-Fi off. So there was no Wi-Fi connection to it. Right. Mm-hmm. And so she could play games on it. There was like a couple cat games that she liked right on it. And the rule was, if I say iPad down, iPad goes down. No questions asked, regardless of what you're doing on it, right? That's the rule. And the first time you complain, the iPad goes away. And she was great with it for a real long time. And then there was one time where I said, iPad down, and she complained. And I took the iPad and I put it in the closet and it stayed there for 1.5 years.
Woo. Oh, wow.
And it was just done.
That is definitely good advice.
It was just done. It was out of our lives.
Now, do you have screens at, like, do you eat as a family?
Well, when I'm around, I work a lot, but when I'm around, yes, we eat as a family.
And are there screens at the table?
Absolutely not.
Okay, so no screens at the table. Good. Because I wouldn't get into that for sure. Mm-hmm. What about after school?
We've tried all of the techniques. We limit it to one school day night after homework, and on Sundays on the weekend.
Okay, and do they get any outside time at all? Like, the weather's getting better.
Oh, yeah. No, they go outside all day. They have other activities that, you know, they do, and they're very happy doing them. It's the mentality of, like Ross said, when there's a moment, it's like, where's my screen?
Yeah.
That's mm-hmm. the key thing.
No, when there's a moment, there's got to be something else for them. When there's a moment, maybe it's a board game. When there's a moment, maybe there's, you know, coloring or drawing a picture or doing some sort of arts and crafts. Or if they have like other activities that don't require using a screen, that's what gets done. That's what gets used.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
Yeah. And, you know, the problem with screens is that screens are, and Catherine and I had this argument as well, because she's very much anti-screen, right? Where when I would be with Roxy, because what would happen is like she got very much into knitting. It's a physical thing. It's like your hands and your head are working together at the same time. You're creating something. It's, you know, it's keeping her busy, and she loved it, and she would make these beautiful things. But to learn new techniques and to understand how to fix a mistake, all of that stuff is found on YouTube.
Yeah.
Right. And so Catherine and I would have these conversations where she would be like, Roxy, what are you doing on the iPad? And she's like, knitting video. And I was more online with, if you're using the iPad to learn something, then I was okay with that.
Sure.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
I was okay if she was using it to learn something, which she did a lot. And I was okay with that. So I think that you need to establish maybe that the iPad is a tool as opposed to an escape.
That's a wonderful way of looking at it, and definitely will implement that for sure.
And try having this conversation with your husband too, okay? Lead by example.
Definitely.
Have him understand that too, okay?
Yeah.
Because he's gonna have to have an answer when the kids, especially the 9-year-old, say, well, daddy's on the couch on his phone. Why can't I be on the iPad? Or why can't I be on the phone?
True.
Right?
Very true.
Mm-hmm.
Very true. Great advice, guys. Thank you so much.
All right. Love you, girl. Take care.
Take care. Bye.
Roz and Mocha's Fix My Life
on KISS.
Roz and Mocha's Fix My Life.
What advice can you guys give me?
Okay, so my question is...
Got a problem you can't fix.
Roz. Roz and Mocha got you.
Yo, Sagar, welcome back to the Roz and Mocha Show. How are you, buddy?
I'm good, I'm good.
What's going on? This is weird. You're on FML. Like, usually you're on the podcast, or you just call in for, like, random fun chats. The last time we talked to you, I think it was, like, 2 weeks ago, you were on your way to the hospital with your wife. She was going to have your first baby. So why are you on FML?
I want to know, how do I stop feeling useless while my wife does it all?
Cigar, you wrote this. Hey, Roz and Mocha, fix my life. My wife just delivered our beautiful baby girl, which we know. This is our sixth pregnancy, but our first child. So we are both incredibly grateful for her. My wife is tired, but absolutely filled with happiness. Don't get me wrong, I am as well. But now I have a different problem. How do I get out of the constant guilt mode that my wife is working way harder than me? She keeps telling me that she's okay with the late night feeds, constant diaper changes and everything else. But in my mind, I feel helpless that I'm not working as hard as her because I work full time.
What's the baby girl's name?
Kashi.
Tashi.
Yeah.
Okay. And how's your wife feeling?
She's doing good. She's doing good. It's been 2 weeks now, 15 days today.
Yeah. All right. Well, big up Tashi. Congratulations, Sagar, to you and your wife. Listen, man, your time's going to come. Right? It'll happen, bro. It's not going to be like this forever. Trust me. Mm-hmm. Trust Roz. Mm-hmm. Any parent out there listening right now, they're going to say to you, Sagar, your time is coming. Don't feel like you're useless because you are needed. You're a very important person in this family. Listen, your wife is excited right now. Yeah, she's sleep deprived, but she wants to do all this stuff with young Tashi as well. So all you can do is be that supporting, loving husband. You say to your wife, what do you need? How can I help? What can I do next?
I know. The reason I reached out is because I know you had a breakdown on live on radio when Cruz was born.
Dude.
And that's where I am right now.
You know where when it really, really hit me, dude? And when I had that moment on the radio when I did break down was when I ended up going back to work. Or not even going back to work because I had, like, I guess a week off. And then I came back to work. But because of my hours waking up in the middle of the night, there were some nights I would wake up and like Jenna was already awake feeding Cruz. Mm-hmm. Right. And then I would leave.
That was this morning.
Yeah. And then I would leave for the day, do the show. So basically overnight into the morning, into when I got home mid morning, sometimes early afternoon, it was just Jenna and Cruz alone, just the two of them. And yeah, I felt that guilt that I wasn't contributing enough, that I wasn't doing enough to help out around the house or to, I guess, relieve Jenna of all the baby duties so she could get some rest or she can get some alone time or anything like that. I think all parents go through that at some point. And all I can say from experience is that your time will come. And all your wife needs to know is that you are there and you're ready and available at any time, day or night.
I know. The other part that scares me right now is because right now both of our moms are here, so they are helping us out, but they will be leaving in a couple of weeks, and that time then
No. They got to get out soon, bro. It can't. No, I'm serious.
It's going to be alone.
No. You and your wife need to be alone with Tashi like ASAP.
Yeah.
Your parents, the mom's got to go.
The mom's got to go.
You know why? Because the moms right now, especially with Tashi being so young, are feeding you and your wife with all sorts of information, all sorts of opinions on how to raise that child.
I can tell you right now, Sagar, the reason you feel useless right now is because you're not a part of it. And the reason you're not a part of it is because right now what's happening is everything is going down between your wife and the moms.
Yeah, fair enough. That's true.
Right?
And I'm sure.
You're not a part of it. If it was you and your wife, you guys, believe me, you would be in this together. Mm-hmm. You would feel way more a part of it. You may not be able to feed her. I don't know how you guys are feeding the kid, but you can for sure change her. Why isn't that your thing? Why have you not just stepped up and said, yo, I'm the one that does the diaper, okay?
No, I do. I absolutely do. It's just, yeah, I absolutely do. But most of the work falls
on
her, right? Because
she's with her. Yeah, you're not part of it. You know, it's not that you feel guilt that you're not doing anything. I think that you probably feel a little bit sadness that nobody's asking you to do anything. You know, that you got this beautiful baby and this sort of like first couple of weeks in the kids' lives, all the sort of bonding and the caretaking and everything is between your wife and the moms. And you're kind of sitting on the sidelines.
Maybe.
Yeah, and I need to get
those moms out of there, bro.
Yeah, yeah, you got to get the moms out of there. And I wouldn't say guilt. Like, if you have a conversation with your wife, just don't talk about how you feel guilty that you're not doing anything, because your wife loves you, she's going to be like, oh my God, don't feel guilty. I love doing this. It's fine. I think that the conversation that you should have with your wife is, listen, I want to be a part of this. Mm-hmm. Like, tell me what you need me to do, and I'll do it. Like, with our kid, because Roxy was on formula, so it was much mm-hmm. easier for us, because I could just wake up in the morning, go get a bottle and feed her and change her before Catherine even woke up.
Yeah.
Right. So like we sort of had that freedom. But I think that you just feel sad because you're not part of it. And I think that that's normal too. But like, yeah. Mocha said, bro, your time is going to come.
Mm-hmm. I know. Yeah. I'm trying my best right now. It's an awareness thing. I know that things are going to be tough right now and it's going to get better soon, but I'm just 2 weeks into this. That's all.
Yeah. You're going to be
great, man. You're going to be great. We've talked to you enough times to know that you are a loving and wonderful person. And Tashi is lucky to have a dad like you. And at some point today, man, just like spend like a couple of minutes, if not like a long time with her, just the two of you. And I think you'll feel better. I don't know if you've done skin to skin yet, but try it.
Yeah, all of that.
Right? It is the best feeling in the entire world, bro. Do that today. You're going to feel better, man.
It's that baby smell. That always. It's intoxicating. Yeah,
but before we let you go, why don't you pivot a little bit, okay? And instead of feeling guilty that you're not doing stuff for the kid, why don't you just focus on doing stuff for your wife? Mm-hmm. Make that your job right now, because the moms are there and everything else, right? Like, so really, really take that on. And then when the moms leave, you're going to slide right into being a dad, and it's going to feel great. I just think you got iced out for the first couple weeks, and that feels terrible.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I'm going to do that. I'll keep that in mind.
Yeah, do that, man. Okay.
But first and foremost, kick them moms to the curb.
Yeah. Tell them to come back in a couple months. It's fine.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
Yeah, thanks for this, guys.
You got it, man.
You know, we got your back, bro. On tomorrow's FML, Sagar, problems with his mother-in-law. You guys suck. I tried to have that conversation. It went all sorts of bad ways.
Thanks for listening to the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Catch the guys live.
Weekday mornings from 6 to 10.
On KISS 92.5.
KISS925.com.
Or download the Seeker app.